My name is Jeremiah. I'm your pastoral resident, if I haven't met you yet. It's good to see all of you. Welcome. Today is a fun Sunday. In case you're visiting, this isn't normally what we do on Sundays because this is Mission Recap Sunday. Woo! I love that. Thank you. One or two people. I like that. Today's the day we look back on what's been going on over the summer. Our summer is a time where we ramp up our missional work, and we look at how God has made an impact in our lives and in the lives of others. So before we get started, I have a disclaimer today. This is like three Sundays worth of material that I have to pack into one sermon. So I'm going to need your participation. My challenge for you today, and this isn't just like a passive challenge, I really actually want you to do this challenge. Find someone who is in one of these videos that you can't do, you know, if it's someone you normally talk to, find someone new, and ask them what happened. Ask them what it was like to be on the trip. Because in prepping for this sermon, I learned so much about middle school ministry and high school ministry, and I work here, and I didn't even know what was going on. So go find someone who is invested and involved in this ministry. Really get weird, go like grab a hold of them, say, Jeremiah said this was okay, and ask them how their mission trip went. All right, sound good? All right, everyone who said yes, that means you have to do it. So what we talk about when we go on missions is the big things that happen over the summer. And we're gonna talk about the middle school first, and then the high school, and the trip that I went on that I didn't really have a good name for, so it was like either after school or old school mission trip. One of those, talk to somebody on those. For each one of these, we have an opportunity to participate in the sent nature of life in Christ. This commitment to participate in the work of the gospel, both at home and outside of our home, in our local community and further away, it's rooted in the idea that we as the people of God are called to live out the gospel wherever we are. We're not just enthusiasts who learn things about Jesus. We're not collectors of facts or hoarders of books. We as the people of God are called to live a life in imitation of Christ. So I like to say we're not called to passive mediocrity or slug discipline. We're not slug disciples. We're called to follow after Christ. Jesus says in Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone when he is fully trained will be like his teacher. And again in John 13:15, for I have given you an example that you should also do, that you also should do, just as I have done to you. And in John 17:18, and this is the one I really want you to get a hold of, as Jesus prays to God the Father, it's called the high priestly prayer in some translations, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And that them is us, all right? We've been sent. We've got some action orientation behind that. We've got some motion. So that's the verse. I want you to have that in mind in the back of your head as we go through this today, and I hope that's the idea you can take home. Because this is the why of missions. This isn't just like some place to send away the kids so you have a week without them. This is an outward expression. It's not just a vacation. It's the outward expression of sent nature of the gospel. It's not an extracurricular activity. It was a really hard word that someone gave me one time when we were talking about missions. So to be a Christian is to be sent out into the world and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, we're going to go through some videos to see what people did, and in addition to the video recaps, I'm going to introduce you to the videos, because I watched them before I put them up, and I was like, this is great, but only if you have the context. So I'm going to give you super short context. Again, find someone, grab them, you know, get a hold, threaten them, whatever you have to do, bribe them with coffee, and say, I need you to tell me more about this middle school experience, this high school experience, the Bolivia trip. And one more thing before we go into videos. Who has a bulletin? Who's actually got one? Wave it around. Right on. Matt said that they're in the back as well. There's an insert in the bulletin. I ask because sometimes I completely forget to grab the bulletin. There's an insert in there with service opportunities in the area that are local to us. So however you keep that, if you wanted to make it your bookmark in your Bible, if you want to take a picture of it with your phone so that when you inevitably throw it away, you still have the information, do that. Hold on to it, all right? Because it's going to be ways that we can participate in the future. So far, you've got a challenge to talk to somebody. You've got a resource list for the future. You know, summer's ending. We're giving you homework. School's back in full effect, right? We're not letting you off easy. But I want you to have the context of these videos, then we'll jump into the videos. So we're going to start with middle school. For the past 2 years, the middle school mission trip has been unique in that it's a family mission trip. They're intentionally creating rhythms of service and habits of being out and going and doing. They're also learning what kind of service is best for their kids. For those of you who have kids, you know that one of them might be, you know, very mechanically inclined, and one of them might be very artistically inclined. And the reality is there's ways to serve that honor both of those giftings. So the middle schoolers went out, and this year they did painting and repair, they packaged food, they put together furniture, they served sack lunches under the I-5 overpass in Seattle, and they worked on two different farms. The idea was each of their unique giftings can find the fullest expression in its particular place of service. So, for example, if putting together IKEA furniture sounds like, you know, one of the circles of hell to you, which, if that's just awful to you and you're like, I want nothing to do with that, by the way, we don't believe in circles of hell, but if that seems awful, know that there are other ways that you can serve that can match your giftings. The other thing about the middle school trip that was unique is these parents were also intentionally given space to see how their children were developing and how their relationship in Christ was growing. Sometimes as parents, you get stuck in the parent mode and you never get to watch your kid from a little bit of a distance. So the middle school trip intentionally created that space for them. And I have said this again, I'm saying it every time. We're gonna watch a video in just a second, but it really is just scratching the surface of what happened, all right? So find someone and talk to them. Let's watch the middle school video. There's music. It's a daddy spending family time. The world says he cannot afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor at a tiny little church. 40 years of loving on the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. We had a couple little challenges with work. It was a busy time of work, but we all thought it was important, especially Erica, to get away and serve as a family. Jesus, use you where you are, one day
at a time, live well. I really like Northwest Harvest because we gotta make like dinners, like packaged dinners for a bunch of people who wouldn't have even gotten to eat that day.
How many meals did we pack up that day?
I think like 2,000 something. It's visiting the widow down the street, or dancing on Friday with your friend with special needs. These simple moments change the world. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dreams. Just don't miss the minutes on your way to bigger things. No.
Under a bridge, I believe it was Operation Sack Lunch, and it was really cool because we fed these people meals, and I asked Jen if I could talk to some people because I just wanted to meet them and see what they'd be like, and they were super cool about it. Like, I talked to this one guy, and he'd been reading. He was actually super smart.
I think the biggest takeaway for me is that the kids were so eager to serve. They were happy to serve. They had a really great time doing it. And in our conversations in the car afterwards, they said, when can we come back here? When can we do this again? And I think maybe it was eye-opening to me of how maybe we're teaching our kids busyness rather than teaching them to give your time away. And that we need to make that a priority as parents. Just let Jesus use you where you are. One day at a time, live well, loving God and others as yourself, find little ways where only you can help.
I think sometimes we stall out a little bit thinking, is this going to be the perfect serving opportunity as a family? And you know what? There's no such thing as a perfect serving opportunity. And these kids did awesome out in the field without even knowing exactly what they were up against. We didn't know what we were up against and who was going to jump into the picture. It doesn't need to be scripted. It doesn't need to be perfect. And they were eager and happy to serve. And we're excited to do it again. And in different capacities, so it was a lot of fun.
Eye-opening.
Moving. Worth it.
Life-changing.
Amazing.
So, you may have seen some students in there with orange beanies. Did anyone notice that? Some of the especially watchful among you. That's way more than just a fashion statement. The orange beanies were high school volunteers. So there's 7 high school volunteers we had who they volunteer with the middle schoolers during midweek and on the mission trips, who were identified by those orange beanies. And they were one of the ways that the parents knew they didn't have to be right next to their kids in order for them to be safe, in order for them to be like encouraged. And these are students whose foundations were laid in the middle school program and have been consistently showing growth in faith and a willingness to serve and a capacity to lead. And you might see some more of them in the high school video because they're still part of the high school, but it just shows like the trajectory arc of what can happen when someone is continually formed and continually invited into these sort of opportunities. So we're going to watch the high school one, but again, I'm going to give you some background on it just so you know kind of what's going on. Our high school goes on rotations for where they do missions. Is everybody familiar with this already? I didn't know. So for the one person out there who didn't know, I'm going to tell you anyways. So each year they go to like either an urban place or an international visit or a rural place. And the idea being we sometimes forget the fact that God has sent us to faraway places and also to places that can be overlooked, right? So a lot of times the places that we just completely ignore on our way to somewhere else are the places that God is sending us. So this year, the high school trip was to a small community in Idaho. And in talking with some of the folks who went on the mission trip, I learned that it was a unique trip as well because it was entirely peer-to-peer ministry. So the impact was on other high schoolers. They're witnessing and interacting and speaking to other high schoolers. And if you remember high school at all, can you just imagine how terrifying this would be? Like it was like one of the worst times for people judging you from a distance is high school. And that's how they did their mission work. So part of the preparation that went into it was they learned different ways to present the gospel. They learned different ways to tell their story, their testimony. And they also had the opportunity to do that every night. So 5 nights, groups of, you know, a different person would give a testimony and a different high schooler would present the gospel. So while the main focus was peer-to-peer gospel presentation, the students also had an opportunity to learn for themselves what happens when you actually share the gospel. Some of the high schoolers I talked to were surprised by how well that was received. And that was kind of a call to me, like how much fear goes into our interactions with maybe coworkers or whoever our peers are, and you just have in mind that it's going to be an awful conversation. But if you actually go and do it, it's not so bad. So they kind of had a little bit of that. Anyhow, like I said with the middle schoolers, really do go find someone who is on this trip and ask them about it. We're going to watch the video, and they're really good videos, but nothing beats actually going and talking to them about it. So let's watch that video.
So I just graduated, so I got the chance to go on, I think, 4 mission trips, but Idaho was definitely my favorite. Over the years, we've done a lot of different projects, had a lot of different opportunities, but this one really showed us the value of just taking time and investing in people. Each group went out with their teams and did a lot of different things, but everyone was with a lot of different people, with a lot of different stories. On past mission trips, we've really learned the value of serving others, but this mission trip was different in that we really lived out what we learned. That service can be done every day at our schools and our families, and so in the past when we learned, like, this is what you should do, we actually learned, like, how to do it and how to have courage to do it and how to have faith in that God is going to walk you through whatever He puts in front of you.
On this mission trip, it was a lot easier to get on a deeper and more authentic level with people because they've been just so nice and just willing to help you in anything, any way possible, just to get to know you better and get on that deeper level. I got way closer with everyone in my group, just like the service groups that really got us closer together because we're just working together and talking with each other, just constantly asking each other questions, which was the best part.
So a big part of this mission trip was the evening outreach. And during the outreach games, what we would do, we would play games to really break down barriers of everyone. And so we would play games like Can-Can or Buck Buck. And pretty much all those, you would get really close to each other regardless of what's going on. It was just a lot of fun to just hang out and play with all the other kids in the community. I was really surprised by the response that was the response of the kids that were there. They all came back like every night, and I didn't really know what to expect when we first got there. Because when we first got there, we kind of thought that maybe 10 kids would come the first night, but 30 kids ended up showing up the first, like 30 or more kids showed up. And then from there, it grew in number. Well, after the games, we would go into worship and testimonies. And with the testimonies, I was able to share mine, and I was the first one to do it. And we had to share the gospel and our testimonies with peers that were our age. And normally we would do it with the kids younger than us, but this time we actually did same age, which is a lot harder, I would say. I shared about my image and self-worth, and I had to share that in front of a bunch of kids I didn't even know. And it was really a leap of faith that we were all challenged to do, and it was an amazing thing to experience, because with that, all the kids were able to connect with us because of it.
So the last big trip we did this summer was the Bolivia trip. But before we talk about that, I just want to acknowledge that sometimes when we go through Mission Sunday and we're hearing all the things that are like, yes, I know this is true, sometimes we kind of glaze over. Like, sometimes you're like, yes, I've been hearing this since I was a child. I know that missions is important. I know that it's important to put the gospel out. You know, I get it. If you're like me, sometimes you can forget that we're talking about real people, that these are actual people that we're going to, that we're visiting, that we're interacting with. So I brought in a fun video that was, I'll explain more about it later, but sometimes if you feel a little bit like compassion fatigue, this is a video that'll work for you. So.
I'm sorry, man. I'm running late, and I just don't have time to chat.
I understand that. It's just that every minute another child dies unnecessarily, a child who could live a fruitful life with the help of just one small donation.
Yeah, I don't have the time. I'm sorry.
I understand that. It's just all it takes is $1 to save a child.
All right. You know what? Fine. You're right. Yeah. Who doesn't want to help a child? Let's save 5 children.
Toby!
Oh my God, I have another dog. dollar. I have another dollar. Sir, I have another dollar.
I really like that. I love the noise he makes when he goes, it's just $1. He's like, that's the idea of compassion fatigue. And that's kind of, in fairness, that's kind of where I was at before I went to Bolivia on the trip. I would say, like, yes, okay, you're right. This is something that I do care deeply about. I affirm that this is something that I care about. But I didn't really connect with the idea that the people of Ushpa are actual children. Like, did you see that one kid got left behind in the van? He's like, no, not you. They're actual people. And it's harder to just leave it in the, you know, potential theoretical if you see the people. They're actual children, actual adults, actual families. So if you're unfamiliar with the Bolivia trip, our church has been in partnership with an organization called Food for the Hungry, and in a specific community called Ushpa there, that works toward ending physical and spiritual poverty. So I mentioned earlier that sometimes I do get a little bit jaded, but I honestly have never been more impressed with an organization than with Food for the Hungry. Their commitment to thoughtful, intentional stewardship and their passion for the gospel was totally apparent in Bolivia. And I really recommend checking that organization out, even online, just look at them real quick. So we've been partnering with this one community in Ushpa for almost a decade. It's coming up on a decade. And when we go to Bolivia, it's usually to do a particular task. Our trip is oriented around a particular task. So we've done community center builds. We've helped bring in clean waters. It's ongoing. We've done church building improvements. We've done all sorts of big project things. But alongside every big task, there's this underlying commitment to building real relationships with real people. So I'm actually going to let the last video, I promise this is the last video we have. I'm gonna let the last video that Matt made do more of the talking on this, and then I'll tell you what I personally experienced on the trip there. So let's do the last one.
A lot of times people ask, why do we go? You know, we're not there to go to an orphanage. We're not gonna hold babies. We're not putting a house up, you know, and this kind of stuff. And I've always struggled with what to say. You know, people ask, what do you do? And I say, oh, we do home visits. Well, what the heck is a home visit?
Home visits are like where you meet your sponsor child or someone in the group sponsor kid, and you go in, you meet the family, and usually that they serve you more food, and you meet your sponsor kid.
Our church sponsors, what, close to 200, over 200 families. And each one of those kids is, they get letters from their sponsor family. And the home visit is, we get to go and meet that child for you if you can't go. If you sponsor a child, you get to go meet your child.
At the first, I didn't know that was their house. I thought it was like some shack or something. I thought it was like on the right, but it wasn't. It was this kind of small house. And there was like dead, like four kids in that house and a mom. I couldn't imagine being in that household every day, that small of a house with all the people in it. And then I did see Ariel, he was a sponsor kid, and he had his kitten, and I thought it was super cute. He interpreted it to through Ellen, who's saying that like, I was like funny because I thought his cat was cute and stuff, and my hair was like super long. And he thought that was kind of funny. Then we started like just talking to him with my friend Kenan, and I don't know how we got to it, but we got to like start to talk about like music and stuff, and we shared music. He had his own playlist, and I had my own playlist, and we shared like actually a lot of artists. It was actually really crazy and really cool because Ken and I could like experience that, like we're super far away, and it's just crazy. I would never thought that I would meet another person in Bolivia that would listen to the same music as Ken and I, or like anyone.
Jim and I went to meet with one of Ellen's sponsor kids because she was sick that day, And when we first walked up to this house, I was like, wow, this house is huge for a Bolivian house. Three stories. But the first two stories are just bricks with open windows and open doors. There are no doors, there are no windows. Staircases up are all open. They're not in the middle of the house, the staircase is along the outside wall. There was one table, no chairs. And so we just stood and talked and gave the little boy his gift. This year were blankets, which I thought was a very cool gift, blankets and food. And he was so happy, he gave Jim and I big hugs and he went running upstairs. And then of course you could hear the kids talking in Spanish. And then his little brother came down, who was two, with a sweatshirt of his to give to us. And his other brothers came down and were like, no, no. I think that one really did impact because the mom was so open with us. I think it was just having that mom say that her husband could be abusive at times. I mean, that's a big thing to say to someone you don't know. I think FH is really good about making families aware of how to be a family. I think home visits have become more of a family visit, not just a sponsor child visit. I think we learn about the brothers and the sisters, and we learn the family struggles. I think it's easy in countries where you struggle so much that you have kids, but you're not there to raise your kids because you're off working, you have to work, and your kids end up going to work. And I think I truly see FH as being so wanting to take care of the families that they're just out in the community. And that bond that they make with the kids, especially, because I think that kind of pushes them, the kids, to, they can look at someone from FH and know it's someone like them. And I think with us, we go there and we see that bond and we see how we connect with FH. And I think it just kind of slides on down. I think we're a good support. I think they support us when we're there, with everything from where we sleep and what we eat. And I think we support them just by knowing that we care.
Hardest part was to see all those families like go through all that pain, and like without food for the hungry, they might not be like as just like supported. And it's just super sad to see that.
I think this trip especially has shown it's not just to go do home visits and this and that. I think it really is to form a connection with the FH workers. They have hard jobs, and I think that we don't necessarily make it easier while we're there, but I think it shows that we're there to support them. We always have people bring their families to dinner. You know, we've met wives, we've met kids, we've seen them grow up. We got to go to a wedding with someone that hasn't worked for FH for over 2 years, but yet she's still a bond. When I was there last time, 2 years ago, she didn't work. She came to dinner with us. This time we were trying to get her to get to dinner with us, and Abby, our interpreter, is trying to get it together and get her to call her back, and they finally connect, and Abby's like, hey, the Believers Fellowship team is in town. Come and have dinner with us. And Escalante's like, well, I would, but I'm getting married tonight. You know, you guys come to the wedding. So 5 of us that knew her got to go to her reception. You know, that's, to me, that's family and friends. That's who you invite to a wedding. And she invited us, you know, last minute, come to the reception. And I think that is a reason that it is a good reason to go, and it's a good reason not just to send money.
Bolivia was super fun. It was just a super amazing experience. I felt closer to God. Going on that trip kind of reimbursed my, like, kind of, it refreshed God for me, pretty much. It refreshed my faith.
Quick aside, I got to room with Bryant, who you heard from, and Kenan on the trip. and they connected with people with music. And I found that all the music I like is now considered either classic or just old. So I also learned some things about myself. It was a tough trip for me. The house that Brian mentioned was the very first house that I visited on the home visits that we went on. And there were different teams that visited different houses because there's so many families in our church that that support these different people, and it takes different teams to go and do it. But that was the first house, the first trip, my very first experience. And I've been to places in the past where they're impoverished financially or where it's a bad situation. And I've read academically on the state of poverty, and I understand some of the forces that create and perpetuate that. But being there made me fit my head into someone else's reality for a little bit, just for a little bit. The mother who lives in that house that you saw, her name is Elsa. And Elsa has 5 kids, and she's a single mom, and she's got 3 girls and 2 boys. So single mother of 5, making it work as best she can. And Bryant talked about getting to know Ariel, who's the older brother. You saw him in there. One of the middle children, Sandra, is sponsored by someone who is on our team, and I have a picture of her with a soccer ball. Elsa's daughter, Sandra, lives in the same conditions Bryant was talking about, and it's conditions you've probably seen elsewhere too, right? Financial poverty, food scarcity, physical safety concerns, all the things we've already talked about. And in addition, Sandra has Down syndrome. She was born with Down syndrome. And there's no schools that are equipped to teach Sandra's way of understanding the world. There's not those programs that we assume are there a lot of the time. They're just not there. So she didn't learn Spanish like her brothers and sisters. She only spoke Quechua, which is the indigenous language. So even with a translator, we didn't have access to her in the same way we had access to the other people. Matt brought along a soccer ball, which is the universal, you know, communication for children, right? If you bring a soccer ball, you're good to go. And she loved this soccer ball. And more specifically, she loved throwing this soccer ball at me, at my face. And I would like to assume it was a soccer thing, like she knew that I was gonna head the ball, but it is possible that she just wanted to throw a ball at my face. But she loved it, then I bounced it back to her, right? So we had this interaction, and it wasn't perfect, and we couldn't like say, these are the rules of the game, and this is what we're gonna do. But she loved this little interaction that we had. And I wanted to, like, I came ready to talk about the truth of the gospel, and I came ready to talk about who Jesus was. And I wanted to tell her about Jesus, and I wanted to say, like, you are loved, and you are beautifully and wonderfully made, and uniquely gifted, and you're a blessing to the world. And I really couldn't do that. Like, I flew from, you know, Seattle's a long way away. Couldn't say anything to her. But I could bounce this ball with her. And the point of the story isn't like a pull on the heartstrings thing. I don't really think that helps. The point is, these are image bearers of God. They're co-equal to you and me, God's kids, and even some of them are brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're experiencing the effects of a fallen world of sin in a way that we just don't engage with as much. We tend, in our context, to insulate ourselves, most of the time unintentionally, but we tend to insulate ourselves from the reality of what the family of God is experiencing around the world. We forget about that. We forget that they are real people. We forget that our little skills, our little resources, our little contributions are useful and important to the larger kingdom of God. And that's why I shared that video about compassion fatigue earlier, right? We just are so used to, like, yes, it should save a child. That's a good idea. We forget that they're real people. And we did other projects while we were there on this trip, really good projects. We did life skill classes. We met with leaders for a community development board. Our team led a Sunday school class where a lot of people dressed up. You got to ask them about that. I got to preach to that small church. Matt led a morning devotions to the FH workers. And we all got to participate in important and meaningful things. But looking back on this trip, what affected me the most was just passing the soccer ball back and forth for a few minutes with Sandra. There wasn't anything that I could offer her academically, from my own life experience. I couldn't give her insights. I couldn't entertain her in any way other than just bouncing this ball off of my head. But in this moment where she threw the ball, I hope again at my forehead and not my face, I bounced off my forehead, there's this moment where she smiled. And it was just like this window into, you're a daughter, you're a child, you're a kid, you're somebody who Jesus loves and cares about. And it was only like maybe 10 minutes of just back and forth with a soccer ball. That might not seem like anything. Like, that might not seem, if you're just looking at the numbers, is that justification to go on a trip? Maybe, maybe not. But that was how God used me when I showed up. And that's really all it takes to participate in God's kingdom or in missions in general. You show up and you say yes to the mission of God that you are called to. So this was just one snapshot of a whole trip. This is the first visit, the first one I've ever done. We had a whole trip's worth of visits and snapshots like this. So really do go talk to the other people who are on this trip. But what I want for you to take from this is that when we're sent out into the world and we are of sent people, it's as much for serving the people of God as it is for forming us into the image and likeness of Christ. So whether it's middle school or high school or the rest of your life, you're going to be either responding to or ignoring the call to pour yourself out, to give yourself away in a way that stretches you and makes you uncomfortable. There's this self-emptying of our preferences, of our ease, of our comfort. And that's the cost and that's the gift of being a people who are sent on mission. And you and I are sent on mission. So in a few minutes, the band is going to come back up and we're going to sing a couple more songs. We'll worship together and we'll celebrate communion together. Just for logistics, we'll come along these two aisles here and take the juice and the bread, and then we'll go back down the little center aisle here. Everyone's welcome to join us for communion. The table is open, and if you want to stay where you're at, that's fine too. Just make sure people can sneak past you. Matt, who was up here earlier, will be available for prayer in the back there, and I will be available for prayer over here. And I say this every time, but really is our privilege to pray with you. And so if there's anything God's stirring up in your heart, if there's anything that's been on your mind, or if you are just feeling like you want to pray about missions, you want to pray about life, what it means to be on mission, come talk to us. We'd love to pray with you. So I said this before, but I want to say it again. Just like Jesus was sent to save us, we have been sent out into the world, and that implies action, movement, some get up and go. And I'm not saying to be on this mission, you need to go on a mission trip, all right? That's part of the reason we put that insert in the bulletin. But I do believe at a gut level what Ephesians 2:10 says, and it's God prepared good works for us to walk in. Right? I believe that means that God prepared good works for us to walk in. Just what it says is what it is. I don't mean that to be funny. There's sometimes when people say, yeah, someone got good works prepared for them to walk in, but it wasn't me. If you follow Christ, there are good works that have been prepared for you to walk in. I believe that the same God who knit you together in your mother's womb knew before you drew breath what would animate you, what would make you excited, how you could possibly serve and better this world that you're in, how you can bring about the in this lifetime. And I believe that that is the mission that God has invited you into. And I have to say this, missions isn't your ticket into heaven or a prerequisite for you to fulfill. Missions is solely the response of a people who have received the free gift of grace and are responding to it. So that free gift of grace is what we are celebrating when we take communion together. The same God who called you into action, the same God who sent you out first came and found you. And it's because Jesus came on a rescue mission to save us, sent by the Father, because he emptied himself, poured himself out, that we have access to God. It's through this reality, and not by anything that we've done, that we can be the people of God who go out and share the good news. Will you stand with me, please? The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you came and found us. Thank you that you sent your son on a rescue mission when we were still your enemies, that you loved us before we ever loved you. And God, I thank you that you have invited us to participate in the mission of going out into the world, whether it's as far away as Bolivia or close to home, whether it's putting together furniture or bouncing a ball off our faces. God, thank you that you uniquely equipped us for the task. Thank you that you invite us and you love us. We love you and we pray for opportunities to make your name known in the week to come. In your name, amen.